We're continuing the shiur on the topic of Simcha, this series. And right now we're into the Likutei Halachos, the first volume of Or HaChaim, actually, going through the different places where Rav Nosson Zal speaks about the topic of Simcha related to all the different mitzvahs of the Torah, etc. In the previous shiur, it was based on something in Hilchas Tzitzis. Now we're moving forward to Hilchas Tefillin in Likutei Halachos. Halacha Dalet. This chapter of Likutei Halachos is based on chapter 5 in the first half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal makes several important references to Simcha. One of the things he mentions is that we know that within a person, the main center for Simcha, for joy and happiness, is the heart. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Nosato Simcha Belibi. Hashem, you have placed joy in my heart. And Rabbeinu Zal says that it's impossible for a person to really experience joy in the heart before they remove the crookedness in the heart, the negativity in the heart, so that the person's heart should be smooth, without rough edges, without wrinkles, etc. These rough edges and wrinkles could represent all kinds of things. It could represent bad desires. It could represent bad character traits. All kinds of things that are under this umbrella term akmimius, crookedness in the heart. And Rabbeinu Zal says, in order for a person to really have joy and happiness, you have to first eliminate this akmimius. As the pasuk says, Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. Those that have Yashrus Halev, they can experience true Simcha. How do we eliminate this crookedness? This is accomplished through thunder. The Gemara says in Brachas, page 59, Loi Nivru Ramim Elo Lefashet Akmimiu Shebalev. That the main reason Hashem created thunder is to remove the crookedness from a person's heart. Thunder, when a person hears that crashing sound of thunder, it shocks a person, it startles a person, and Rabbeinu Zal says it has the ability to inject a fear into the person, a healthy fear in a sense, that removes all kinds of bad and evil that could have been in the person's heart up until that time. Then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to quote from the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when the sound of thunder, when a sound comes forth from heaven, a very powerful sound, and it strikes the clouds, that sound is heard by people below on earth, and that's thunder. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that this thunder comes, it's an expression of the Midas HaGvura of Hashem, of Hashem's Gvura, harshness, judgment. As the Pasuk says in Eov, V'ram Gvuroisov Mi Yizboinam. The thunder of Hashem's Gvura, who can fathom, who can understand it? Rav Nosson Zal in Likutei Halachos tells us, so here we see that Rabbeinu Zal says there's something called simcha, joy and happiness. A person's supposed to, we've learned in the past, that a person's supposed to try to reach a level where the joy and happiness extends from top to bottom, from head to toe, to be able to dance from joy and happiness so that the happiness is in the feet, it's in the head, it's everywhere. But we know that the main place inside the person is the heart. We spoke about what can obstruct it, what can block it, and how you remove it, how you remove the obstruction. Now Rav Nosson Zal tells us that we find regarding the mitzvah of tefillin, the Gemara mentions in several places, in one of the places in Brachas, the Gemara says that one of the rabbis, Rabba, was extremely happy all day. And he told one of his friends, you know what I'm so happy about? I put on tefillin today. That's what makes me happy. And Rav Nosson Zal says, we see from this statement in the Gemara that tefillin is joy and happiness. How do we bridge together what the Gemara tells us about tefillin being joy and happiness and thunder, the thunder removing the negativity from the heart and allowing the heart to feel the full measure of happiness? We have to trace the tefillin to its origin. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that for most Jews, their tefillin experience begins at Shacharis. Right before they're about to pray Shacharis, they put on a talis, hopefully, if they're privileged to be married, and they put on tefillin. And at that point, they spend 45 minutes, an hour and a half, wearing the tefillin. The Zohar HaKadosh and the Arizal tell us that the tefillin are referred to as the crown of the king, the crown of Hashem. They're something extremely holy and a very high spiritual light that a person wears on their head with the hope that this spiritual light will enter into the person's head and permeate throughout the whole body. However, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that if a person wanted to do the mitzvah of tefillin really, really in the fullest sense, they would know that the mitzvah of tefillin begins at midnight, at chatzos. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that we know that the rooster, that many people are awakened, especially in olden days, by the crowing of the rooster. And the rooster doesn't crow just once, it crows at several different times during the night, which actually begins from chatzos, from midnight. And in fact, we have stories in the Zohar HaKadosh and in the Gemara of tzaddikim who would have the rooster there to wake them up at midnight to be able to do their devotion, their service of Hashem at that time. The Zohar HaKadosh says, who wakes up the rooster? Who's the battery in the alarm clock? And the answer is, the Zohar HaKadosh says, that there is a heavenly fire that shoots forth at midnight, a shalhuva de'isha it's called, and strikes the wings of the rooster, and that's what gets the rooster to cry out. Now we know that in Hebrew, one of the words for rooster is gever. Gever miloshen givura. Judgment, harshness, power, strength. So Rav Nosson Zal explains, we see from the Zohar HaKadosh that this light, this spiritual light that Hashem turns on to activate the rooster, to crow, to scream, and to wake up the true devoted Jews who want to get up at midnight and start their devotion, their tefillah and Torah to Hashem at that time, that light is coming from the place of Givura, which is the same place that thunder is coming from. We said that the Pasuk says about the thunder, V'ra'am Givuroisov mi yizboinon, that thunder comes from Givura. And this spiritual light that wakes up the rooster, which wakes up the person, is also this Shalhuva de'esha. It's an esh. Fire is always Givura, coming from the Midas HaGivura. And just as in the Gemara we saw that the thunder smooths out any crookedness in the heart, this spiritual fire that the thunder, we said, is a sound that strikes the clouds and then it gives forth that crashing sound that we know is thunder. So too, when the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that when that spiritual fire is turned on at midnight and it strikes the rooster, it also strikes the brains, the head, of those Jews who are privileged to get up at that time, to get up at midnight, and it gives them an alertness, a spiritual alertness, where the person is able to understand Torah more clearly than they could any other time in the day. Especially if we talk about the study of secrets of Torah, the deeper portions of Torah, we're told that the most opportune time in the day to learn it is at Chatzos, because of this fire, because of this thunder of the night. We know that a lot, when we talk about a person being woken up, something that wakes a person up. The shofar is used to refer to as Uru Yeshena Mishnaschem, wake up those who are asleep. The shofar again is blown on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaDin, and the shofar represents an instrument of din. That's what's used to take a person out of his sleep. That's what's used to smooth this crookedness of the heart. That's what's used to activate the brain in a way that opens up the person to a much higher level of spiritual thinking. And that's what begins the flow of moichin, of seichel, of spiritual wisdom that continues throughout the night and is expressed in the tefillin that the person puts on in the morning. When the person puts on tefillin, the Zohar HaKadosh and Arizal explain that these are major vessels of seichel and moichin that the person is putting on, which if the person was privileged to wake up at midnight and to have this devotion from then they experience the full measure of this, the full measure. If not, if the person isn't zeicher, if the person gets up at least before it becomes light outside, or if the person gets up even still later, as long as the person is performing the mitzvah properly, al pi halacha, and doing it with the faith that there's more to it than meets the eye, there's more to it than I'm aware of, the person still benefits, each one on their level, from this great light that begins at midnight and continues throughout that second half of the night and fills the tefillin that the person is wearing. And this is why this rabbi made this statement that I'm so joyous and happy because I put on tefillin. Because just as Rabbeinu Zal showed us on Likutei Moran, the thunder is what has the power to eliminate the obstacles that block a person's heart from experiencing the full measure of simcha and joy, so too the tefillin that a person puts on in the morning are also the result of this thunder that begins from midnight in the form of that shalhuva de'esha going via the gever, the gvurois, the rooster, and continuing to fill the tefillin that the person wears. I think we'll leave it here for now on this point. In the Likutei Halachos there, in Hilchas Tefillin Halacha Dalid, Rav Nosson Zal goes a little deeper into it, taking it further and showing how the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that at that time, at midnight, Hashem gets together with the souls of the tzaddikim who are in Gan Eden. And any Jew who is privileged to be up at that time, studying Torah or davening, is also part of that gathering. And that person is considered literally to as if he were sitting in Gan Eden. And this is why the person's mind is open to much, much higher levels of understanding of Torah and experiencing it, you know, on the highest spiritual level. Now we move ahead in the same volume of Likutei Halachos to Hilchas Kriya Shema, Halacha Beis, which is based on a chapter in Likutei Moran that we had not that long ago, all the way towards the end of Likutei Moran, chapter 23, which is based on the pasuk Sosoin v'simcho yasigu v'nosu yogoin v'anocha. There, Rabbeinu Zal explained that when a Jew experiences a major happiness, what happens very often is that the troubles, the worries, the pains and suffering that the person was going through during that time frame are pushed aside. Either they're pushed aside or they actually move aside. They run away because they're the opposite of this joy and happiness that the person is experiencing at that point. A person is at a wedding celebration, a concert, whatever it is, whatever brings a person a major, major high of joy and happiness. When it happens, very often, let's say a person attends a wedding in the evening, 7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night. From 6 o'clock in the morning, from when the person first woke up, they were experiencing every kind of turbulence imaginable. With the kids, with the wife, with running to work, with the problems at work, with the crisis, with the bills, with all the different things that the person was going through. And now at the end of this long, turbulent day, now they change into their Superman outfit. They put on their wedding clothes, their Shabbos clothes, and they're going to this wedding, and the music is playing, and there's extraordinary food available, and they're meeting people who they haven't seen in a while, and everybody's showing a bright smile, not like the gloomy, angry looks that they encountered all day, you know, etc. And Rabbi Nizal says that for most people, what happens is, during that celebration, those other feelings that were there before are not present, they're absent. When the celebration is over, sometimes they come back right away. Sometimes they'll come back the next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning when the person wakes up. The whole mess is back again to deal with. And Rabbi Nizal says, on one hand, still it was nice to get a break. It was nice to get a break for 4 or 5 hours from all the suffering and darkness and pain and suffering. However, the real tikkun, for those Jews who really want to do it right, Rabbi Nizal says, the trick is not to let those worries and troubles and everything escape. When they want to go away so that they can come back to haunt the person or to attack the person once the joy and happiness is over, a much better way of dealing with it is to grab them and force them into the joy. Meaning that when the person is in this happy frame of mind, this expanded consciousness, if that person with that happy frame of mind takes a look at their problems, very often they can shrink the problems. They can make the problems into much smaller than what they thought they were when the person wasn't in such a state of expanded consciousness, such a state of happiness and joy. We have, for example, as an example, the case of David HaMelech, the king of the Jewish people. One of the worst experiences in his life was when his own son, Avshalom, decided to take over the kingdom during his father's lifetime. And David HaMelech was actually, and he gathered together people around him, powerful people, an army, and David HaMelech, his father, was actually forced to flee from the capital, to run from his life, from Avshalom, his own son. And the Torah tells us that at one point when David HaMelech was speaking about it, he said, Mizmor LeDavid, King David sings to Hashem, Bevorchoim ibn Avshalom benoi, while running from his, fleeing from his son Avshalom. The Gemara says, strange. Singing while he's running from his life for his life from Avshalom? The Gemara says yes. David HaMelech was so great a person, so great a tzaddik, that whereas most ordinary people, when faced with this situation, would say, this is terrible, period. This is the worst. And David HaMelech, being who he was able to say, you know, there's something good about this situation. This could have been much, much worse. If it were anybody other than my son, then I'd have to prepare for the worst. I'd have to know that the guy probably wants me very dead. And I really, I'm in serious, serious life-threatening danger. But since it's my son, most sons will not murder their own fathers. So therefore, it's not that terrible. This is what the Gemara tells us. This is how David HaMelech was able to analyze this situation, which most people would say the worst of the worst. He was able to turn it around. He was able to say, Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David, a praise to Hashem coming forth from David in this worst of times. Because David HaMelech knew this secret of that when the Yogoyin Vanocha, that when a person wants to be happy, when a person wants to be joyous about Hashem and everything, and there's something, there's a terrible problem, when the happiness can give the person the ability to look at the problem and to shrink it, to make it easier to deal with, to, in some cases, to turn it around completely, or at least to minimize it. This is what David HaMelech was able to do. And Rabbi Nizal explains over there that when a person can do this, when a person can take the problem and include it in the simcha, not that the problem went away, it's somewhere else totally and it's going to come back, but as a result of being so happy and so strong in my happiness and faith in Hashem, I grab the problems and I say, come here, you. You're coming with me. You're going to dance with me. You're going to admit that it's not the way you were presenting yourself before. It's not all bad. It's not the worst. That's the highest success that a person can have in simcha, in a devotion to Hashem. That's shleimus ha-simcha. And Rav Nosson Zal, in this chapter of Likutei Halachos, says, let's see how this applies to our tefillah, to our daily tefillah. We know that the Gemara makes a statement that any tefillah of a congregation that does not include in it sinners, Jewish sinners, not just sinners, but poishei Yisrael, deliberate sinners, is incomplete. That tefillah is incomplete. Rav Nosson Zal says, now look what the Gemara is telling us. This is a Gemara in Krisus, Daf Vov. We know that tefillah, Rav Nosson Zal says, is synonymous with simcha. Prayer is an expression of happiness. The pasuk says, "Vahaviyosim el harkochi." Hashem says, "I will bring them to my holy mountain." V'simachtim beveis tefilosi, and I'll fill them with joy in my house of prayer. So another word for tefillah is simcha. Just like we said before that the simcha is incomplete unless you're able to bring the worries, the negativity into the simcha and include it and dissolve it and shrink it within the simcha, so too a tefillah is incomplete unless you're able to include in it the supposedly foreign elements, those Jews who many people would have a natural attitude to reject, to want to keep out, keep away. And the Gemara says that your tefillah is not complete unless you've included them in it. Just like in the analogy with the simcha and the yoga in Vanocha, you have the tefillah with the poishei Yisrael. We know that one of the main requirements for tefillah is a minyan. Kedusha, Kaddish, the most important highlights of Baruch Hu of tefillah cannot be said without a minyan. Rav Nosson says, what is a minyan? A minyan is simcha. When 10 Jews get together, we had learned earlier that joy, the basis in spirituality for joy and happiness is from the 10 types of song. The Asora Mine Negina, 10 types of song, they are the spiritual foundation of joy and happiness. So too, tefillah, which we said is joy and happiness, requires a minyan. Because when 10 Jews get together, they represent these 10 types of song. They're putting together the full spectrum of simcha, and therefore, this is what gives them the ability to bring in number 11, to bring in those Jews who would normally be considered to be outside of the circle. Those Jews who are poishei Yisrael, deliberate sinners, to be able to include them. Just as in the example, where does the Gemara learn this from? From the offering of Ketores. We know that our prayers, our tefillos, the Gemara says, are in place of the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis Hamikdash. The holiest of all the sacrifices was the spices, the offering of the Ketores, the 11 spices. Those 11 spices represent this minyan, this tefillah betzibur, which has the ability to include in it the chelbana, the foul-smelling spice that smelled terrible, which represents the poishei Yisrael, and that's what actually completes the tefillah. That's what actually completes the ketores. And Rav Nosson Zal goes on to show this is why the Gemara tells us about tefillah, that a tefillah is not accepted by Hashem if it's presented, if the person is in a state of unhappiness, depression, sadness. The way a tefillah is most effective is when it's coming mitoich simcha shel mitzvah, This is the wording in the Gemara in Brachas, page 31. Mitoich simcha shel mitzvah. Rashi HaKodesh over there in the Gemara says, what do we mean by simcha shel mitzvah? I'll show you. In Shacharit, when we talk about tefillah, the term tefillah means prayer. Sometimes the word tefillah is used to refer to the pinnacle of our prayer, which is the Shmoneh Esrei, the Amidah, the 18 brachas of the Shmoneh Esrei. Rashi HaKodesh shows over there in the Gemara that each three times a day we recite the Shmoneh Esrei. Before we come to the Shmoneh Esrei, we put ourselves into a state of happiness and joy. In Shacharis, what do we discuss before the Shmoneh Esrei? We're Soimech Geula to Tefillah. The words that introduce the Shmoneh Esrei are Goal Yisrael. We remember that Hashem took us out of exile. He took us out of Egypt. Mi Mitzrayim Gialtonu, Mi Beis Avodim Pidisanu. We remember the greatest joys and how Hashem took us from the lowest pits, the lowest places of unhappiness, and He elevated us to Bnei B'chayri Yisrael U'v'chayreim Golta, that Hashem saved, He destroyed, He killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians and took the firstborn of Christ, took us out in glory. That's the simcha that prepares us to be able to reach the highest high in our prayer, which is the Shmoneh Esrei. At Mincha, it's the Ashrei, and the last lines in Ashrei are Ritzoin Yireyov Yaseh Ves Shavosam Yishmav Yoshiim. Hashem does the will of those who are beloved to Him. Shoimer Hashem es kol oyavov. Hashem watches over and protects those who are beloved to Him. Those last lines are focusing, again, on things that make us feel great about ourselves, about Hashem and our relationship with Hashem. That's the intro into the Shmoneh Esrei. And Rashi says, when it comes to the Tefillas Arvis, obviously Rashi had the minhag where they said Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen, which we living in Eretz Yisrael don't say. They had the long prayer before the Shmoneh Esrei where it says there Ki lo yitoish Hashem esamoiv v'nachlosoi lo yazoiv. Hashem never forsakes His people. Rashi quotes that pasuk. We have again the Goal Yisrael. That Goal Yisrael in Marav also as the intro to Shmoneh Esrei to put us in that happy frame of mind in which the tefillah is most accepted by Hashem. And this, in fact, is the whole concept. The Gemara says that when a person needs any type of refuah, a person needs a cure, a healing, We accomplish it through tefillah, through prayer. We have the Sefer Tehillim. We have the Shmoneh Esrei. We have the paragraph of Rifo'enu. All based on this concept of the 10 types of song. Rav Nosson Zal goes on to show how we know that the tefillah is broken up into different worlds. The tefillah of Shacharis corresponds to the four basic worlds that Hashem created. The first section of the tefillah, the Karbonos, corresponds to the Olam Ha'Asiya. The Psukei Dezimra corresponds to the next world, Yitzira. The Birchas Kriyashma corresponds to the next world, Bria. And the Shmoneh Esrei to Atzilus, the highest of the worlds. And he says, if you'll take a look, you'll see that in each section of the Tefillah, there's a major, major representation of Simcha, of joy and happiness. In the Karbonos, it's the Ketores. That's where we recite the Ketores. The pasuk says, Ketores yesamach lev. That Ketores brings joy and happiness to the heart. Because again, because of this symbolism, that Ketores has the 10 sweet-smelling spices corresponding to the 10 types of song. And the 11th one, it even includes the worries, the negativity. We've schlepped them inside also. We've made them part of the circle, part of the joy in the dancing. Psukei Dezimra, the next section of the davening, is climaxed with the Halalukas. We have the Halalukas, of which the final one is where we say Halaluka 10 times. Halaluka, Halaluka El Bekotsha, El Kriuzai, the 10 Halalukas there, which represent the peak of joy, corresponding to those 10 types of song. In the Birchas Kriyashma, which is an expression of our faith in Hashem, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Rabbeinu Zal tells us that Emuna is synonymous with Simcha. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the Shema, the words Shema and Echad, the first letters, the Shin Mem of Shema, and the Aleph Ches of Echad make up the word Esmach, Onoichi Esmach Hashem. Because when a person believes, when a person really believes in Hashem, that person's the happiest person in the world. If the Creator, the King of Kings, who is capable of everything and anything, and loves me, and is in charge, and is watching over everything, supervising everything that's going on, nothing is everything is Hashkocha Prati, that person is happy. That person doesn't have a worry in the world. When a person thinks that things are going wrong, there's nobody manning the ship, that's when Chas Shalom people are worried. If I know that the one who's manning the ship is perfectly capable, and even if it seems to me that things aren't going right, so what? What do I know? He knows a billion times better. Everything is being handled perfectly. That person has this simcha. That's the Birchas Kriya Shema. And then finally, entering into the Shemayin Esrei, you have the ultimate joy, which is the dveikus, the deep, deep connection that a person experiences during the Shemon Esrei. And Rav Nosson Zal concludes by saying that now we'll understand also why the Gemara mentions in Erchin that we know that one of the worst sins in Judaism is Lashon Hara. When a Jew slanders another Jew, a Jew speaks evil about another Jew, the Gemara compares that. It says that it's considered like a combination of idol worship, adultery, and murder, all rolled into one. This sin of Lashon Hara in many ways is considered to be the worst of the worst. And the Gemara in Erchin says that the Ketores had the power to atone, to forgive, even for Lashon Hara. Rav Nosson Zal says, why? Based on what we're saying now, we could understand it. Because Lashon Hara, by speaking negatively about another Jew, I'm trying to push that person away. I'm trying to show that I don't want that person to be part of us. I'm rejecting that person. And the Ketores, which represents Simcha, the symbol of Simcha, we said that true Simcha is only when we're able to include those whom others would want to reject, even the Poishei Yisrael, those who supposedly, according to Judaism, these are the ones who we would have the most legitimate reason to reject. The Ketores shows that that's not what Hashem is looking for. The will of Hashem is that the Chelbana be included in the Minyan, included, and perform this Korban, this highest of Korbanos. Hashem should help once again that by realizing, recognizing how critical this is in Yiddishkeit, this issue of Simcha, and our Tefillah, this is what it's really all about. The tefillah is that when a person walks into shul, the shul, the base tefillah is called the simachtim beveis tefilosi. It's a place of simcha. A person's supposed to look at each and every single person when they come in there and say, wow, because of that person, because I'm not one, because I'm one of 10, that's going to make my tefillah into one of these 10 types of song. The Ketores, it's going to elevate it to an unbelievable level, and this is going to give me all the blessings, all the brachas, the simcha that takes a person out of exile, out of every kind of trouble. We should be zeicher through this attitude to see the fulfillment of the ki besimcha seitzeyon, that through simcha a person can exit from every kind of difficulty, every kind of problem, and be zeicher to experience the true joy and happiness in every way, each and every one of us and what we need it, whether it's in parnosa, whether it's in building a family, whether it's in doing our mitzvahs better, to be zeicher to get to our simcha and the simcha of Klolius, of Klal Yisrael, with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the third and final Beis HaMikdash, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.